All right, we are holding on the bottom. Samachem Abayis of the Mishnah. Hakita yoytze bekav shaloi divrei Rabbi Meir. Hakita is somebody who has his foot knocked off, so he goes out with they put some sort of block of wood to act as his shoe, and the bottom of his feet divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosi says oyser. Rabbi Yosi says it's oser. No, he's not allowed to because it's not considered a tachshit. It's carrying. But if it has some sort of like indent in there that he's able to put the bottom of his foot, and he puts in ketitin, and he puts in these like pieces of, you know, soft wool or whatever it is, or clothes, in order to place the bottom of his the stump of his foot in there, then it's taka tame. It is going to be makabel tumas. It becomes a keli. And if it only has a place to put his foot there, so then, and you don't put any clothes in there, so then it's not considered a basic kibbutz for tumah, and it's considered a regular piece of wood, which a regular piece of wood is not mekabel tumah. Wood is not mekabel tumah, even if it's used for something, unless it has a place that it's made to hold something. So if it's made to hold this wool or whatever, so then it's mekabel tumah. But if it's not made to hold the wool, it's only made to hold his foot, it's not mekabel tumah. So Gemara differentiates between whether or not it's able to be mekabel, whether or not it's made in order to hold wool and things like that, in order to soften the inside of, in order to soften the place where he puts his stump.
But whether or not it's mekabel tumah, does that affect its halakha for Shabbos?
I don't.
Separate.
I don't think so. I don't think so. The Gemara just says it's oyster, but if it has, I don't think so. I don't think it should be.
It's not relevant to Shabbos. It should bring. It's just
right. I think so. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. I was thinking about the same thing. It's a good point. Smuchay shalai. These things that this kita. Sometimes this kita would go out on things on. It's sort of like, you know, knee pads, and he would go on knee pads, and if you could imagine, like the whole shin pad, like, you know, sometimes hockey players have, like the whole shin from the knee down is covered in some sort of like, you know, special covering, that is considered a smuchais, and those are tamei and medrash. They are made to sit on and made to, not to sit, but they're made to put one's full weight on. And therefore, if the guy would be a zav, he would, so besides for actually losing his feet, he's also a zav, the poor man. So he would be metama those things via medrash, just by leaning on it. Even though he's wearing pants, so his skin is not touching it, nevertheless, it would transmit tuma to these shin pads. Okay. Sometimes you see like baseball players and hockey players wear these type of things. Okay. You have yaitzin behen b'shabbos, and you're allowed to go out with these shin pads on Shabbos because it is considered, you know, a part of your clothing. It's something that you adorn yourself with. And v'nichnasin behen ba'azara. And you're allowed to go into the Azara with them also. In other words, even though you're not allowed to go into the Azara with shoes, this is not considered shoes. Now, there are certain people who lost their feet from the knee down entirely. So they have some sort of, like, it's on a wheelchair. It was before the invention of the wheel, apparently. But they had this, I'm not sure why they didn't put two and two together and just make a wheelchair. But they had this chair. And the guy had two, like, stands, which he moved himself by, like, moving himself along with the chair. He had, like, two handles, which were movable, and he used to lean down on the handles and, like, bump his way forward. Literally, I don't know why they didn't invent the wheelchair. It shouldn't have been that difficult of a... You know, sometimes...
Well, wheels require fairly smooth roads in order to go on. If the roads you have are more like trails or whatever, then it's not going to be so easy.
But they had carriages and things like that. They did have these things. They had wagons. And just like, I'm just picturing this guy, like, moving his whole weight. I mean, he must have had tremendous biceps and triceps. And, like,
well,
pecs, everything.
Like, sort of like crutches in a way, you know, like you're moving yourself.
I know, but here he was sitting on a chair. So he was like, they used to tie him to a chair because he didn't have knees. From the knees down, he didn't have this next guy. So he's like push his way forward. Like it's tremendous strength. I could do it for a little bit, but like got to go to the store just for a couple eggs. Like no way. All right. So I'm just one. Yeah. Okay. But Azara. So kisei usmucha, so the chair and these little, you know, these pieces of wood that he would hold in his hands are tamein meiders. Also, they're made to put full weight upon, and therefore the tamein meiders. The ein yoytzim lem Shabbos. You can't carry them on Shabbos. Because these things are, especially the handles, are not attached to you. You can't go into the azard with them. And the Gemara finishes off with luktamin, which we'll discuss at the end, is tahir and is tar, and you can't go out with it on Shabbos. The Gemara will discuss what luktamin is. So, Rashi over here brings down one of the three explanations in the Gemara, which is that it's a mask. A mask that people wore in order to scare kids. So, apparently, they had these things back then also. Okay. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rava L'Rav Nachman, Heichi Tanan. So I apologize. The smuchas are not the pieces of wood. The smuchas are, I'm not sure. The smuchas are pieces that he put in the front of his feet where his knees were knocked off. He put some sort of shoe there, and the guy occasionally, when moving his feet forward, would go ahead and also use those feet, a drop, to the end of his legs, a drop, in order to propel himself forward. So says the Gemara that those also are made to lean upon, just a drop, and Mimela they are Mekabel Tuma. Okay. So Rashi does bring down that he propelled himself with these wooden pieces in his hands. But the Gemara was not talking about that. When it said smuchas, it meant these things that you put at the bottom of your feet. So that's why it says you cannot go into the azar with them. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, Heichi Tanan. How do we teach the Mishnah? In the first part of the Mishnah, it says Akita Yoytze Bekav Shelo Divrei Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi says it's Aser. Is that the correct version, or perhaps the version is Ein Hakita Yoytze and Rabbi Yossi Matir? Apparently there was a machlekes in the Beis Medrash. So he wanted to know what's the true mahalach. So he says Amar Lei Lo Yadana, I don't know. So Hilchasamai, what's the halach? And Amar Lei Lo Yadana, I don't know. Itmar Amar Shmuel. The correct way to read the Mishnah is not like we have it. Ein Hakita. The kita is not allowed to go out with these shoes. The Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi says that he is mutter. V'chein Amar Vuna Ein Hakita. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, listen, we don't know. We have Shmuel and Rav Huna. Ha'ilva Amar Shmuel Ein Hakita. V'amar Rav Huna Ein Hakita. Ananami Nisni Ein Hakita. Let's switch our Mishnah also and let it start off with Ein Hakita. And Rabbi Yosef says it would be mutter. Did you not hear what Chanan bar Rava said? Rav Chanan bar Rava said to Chia bar Rav, "Kamed Rav in front of Rav, bekitune debe Rav in the small place of Rav, in the small. Apparently, there was some small part of a small room by Rav's yeshiva, and they were in that room. And Ein Hakita Yoytze Bekav Shalaytiv Rabbi Meir. He taught the Mishnah like you just said it. Ein Hakita Rabbi Yosi Mater. And Umachvili Rav Epech. And Rav pointed out, no, switch it around. The correct version is actually the way we have it. Hakita Yoytze. So Amar Rav Nachman V'simanech Samach Samach. The way to remember it is that it's the Samach goes with the Samach. Rabbi Yosi Oyser. And the Gemara says V'av Shmuel Hadar Be Shmuel actually was Chozer. Once you heard that Rav said that Shmuel was Chozer, that none. As it says, Cholza b'sandal she'ena shaloi. If a person does chalitza with a shoe that's not his, or b'sandal shal eitz, or a wooden shoe, or shal small b'yamin, or he had the right shoe on the left foot and vice versa, chalitza k'sheira, it is nevertheless a chalitza k'sheira. V'amin in man tana, and we asked, who is the tana who says that these things are kosher? And Amar Shmuel, it's Reb Meir. It's Reb Meir that says that in our Mishnah, a wooden shoe is considered a shoe. So we see that Rabbi Yosi, that Shmuel, when referencing this Mishnah, when learning Maseches Yevamos, he quoted it the way Rav learned it, which is the way we have it. Rabbi Yosi Yosi, so we see, indeed, Rav Shmuel was chayzer to this Mahalach. And in fact, Rav Huna also, we know, Rav Huna, who originally said to switch it around, also we have on record that he was chayzer. The Tanya, sandal shel sayodin is tomei medras. a shoe that is used by painters and by limers. So they use these shoes. It's protective shoes because the lime was, like we saw earlier in Bamei Tomim, it was heat generating. The lime generated a lot of heat. And therefore they needed some sort of protective cover for their shoes. So it's Tamei Medris. So this shoe is Tamei Medris. V'isha chaletzes boy, and a lady could perform chalitza with such a shoe. V'yoytza and babi Shabbos, and you're allowed to go out with Shabbos, divrei b'meir, v'loy haiduloy, and the chachamim weren't maskim. I have a hatanya haiduloy, we have a brisa that says the chachamim were maskim, and Rav Huna answered the stira, amalei Rav Huna, man haiduloy, Rabbi Meir. Rav Meir was maida, because from our Mishnah, it's muchach that Rav Meir holds a wooden shoe, is considered a shoe. Man loy haiduloy is Rabbi Yaisi. So, period. So what we see is that Rav Huna also learnt for the record that the Haidah came from Rabbi Meir, and that indeed it is the correct way to learn our Mishnah, is the way we have it, that Rabbi Meir is the one who says that wooden shoe could be a shoe, and Rabbi Yosi says that wooden shoe is not a shoe. Okay, that's all we need for our sugya. Once we brought out that sugya, the Gemara brings down a second answer for this stira. We have a stira of whether or not the Chachamim were moided to Rabbi Akiva with regards to a wooden shoe, or with regards to a sandal shell sayadin, these wooden shoes that are placed on by these painters that they paint lime. So are they Tamei Medris or not? So at first we said it's dependent on the Machlekes in our Mishnah. A second version is Rabbi Yosef Amar Man Lo Yehoydulay is Rabbi Yechanan Ben Nuri. Who is the one who argued Rabbi Yechanan Ben Nuri that Nan Kaveres Shel Kash Vishveferes Shel Kanim? If you have a Kaveres made out of straw or a Shveferes made out of reeds, Rabbi Akiva says Metame VeRabbi Yechanan Ben Nuri Metaher. So we see that if you have things made out of if you have an item, let's say like a box, which is not normal to make it out of straw. You generally make it out of reeds. And nevertheless, Rabbi Yechanan Ben Nuri says, since it's not the normal way to make it, it's not considered tamei. So to buy a shoe, since it's not the normal way to make it, you only make it generally out of leather, it's not considered tamei. Okay, Amr Mar Sandal Shel Sayadin is tamei medras. These shoes of the painters are tamei medras. Questions the Gemara, why? It's not made to walk on. They're there as protective covers for while the painter stands and does his lime. But it's not made to walk on. Says the Gemara, yes it is. He walks on it until he goes home. From his job until the home, he keeps these protective shoes on. And Mimele, yes it is made to walk on. So that's why it's Mitame Medris, because it is made to walk on.
And the Gemara compared shoes made of straw to our subject, which was shoes made of wood.
Well, we're going with the first version of Rashi, so I'm not sure how the Masifta would bring it down. But the first version of Rashi is that we're comparing a box made out of straw, which is not the normal way to make a box, to shoes made out of wood, which is not the normal way to make shoes.
Okay. Where's the mention of a box? Doesn't it say sandal shall see at him?
Yeah, at which point of the Gemara were you referring to? This the Tanan Kaver Shel Kash?
Oh, I see. There's two comparisons. I was referring to the first case where
yes, okay, fine. So at that point, at that point, the Gemara was saying that Rav Huna was chayzer to explain like the version we have it in our Mishnah, because Rav Huna quotes the sandal shel sayadin, which is made out actually of which is made out of wood, and therefore it's exactly the same thing as our Mishnah. And Rav Huna said that there's a machlekes whether or not the Rabbanan or Chayzer agree that it's considered a shoe or not. And says Rav Huna, you know who's the one who's agreeing? Rav Meir. And the one who argues? Rav Yaisi. So that it's mukach that he has the version in front of him the way we have it right now. Then the Gemara goes on further and says, I'll give you a different... That's it, period. Nothing to do with our sugi anymore. The Gemara gives a different answer for what that machlekes could possibly be. And that was comparing it to Rabbi Yechanan ben Nuri. Okay, the Gemara continues. If this shoe, this wooden shoe, had a place to place soft stuff in, like, you know, leftover begadim or wool or whatever, so then it is tamei. Amar Abaye, tamei tumas meis, ve'ene tamei tumas medrus, ve'ene tamei medrus. It is tamei tumas meis. It can contract tuma by a tumas meis, but nevertheless, it's still not tumas medrus. It's still not made to be leaned upon. You don't walk with it. Rava Amar, no, af tamei medrus. No, it's also made to be leaned upon. So apparently, this guy doesn't really lean on this. Thing all the time. It's made be'ikar just to, he doesn't look weird, that he doesn't have bottom of the feet. That's be'ikar what it's made for. And therefore, says Abaye, since it's not made to lean upon, lechatchila, that's not its ikar purpose, memela, it doesn't have this thing called tumas medrus. Again, tumas medrus is, even if you don't touch it, nevertheless, if you lean on it, you know the story with the queen, with the princess, and with the 101 mattresses, and the pee underneath, if she was so delicate that she could feel the pee underneath. I never really understood that, because why on earth would you want such a lady in your life? But Lamaisa, if she, all 100 mattresses would be tummy if she was Anita. Because if you lean on something that's made to be leaned upon, then you are tummy. The question is this shoe, which is not 100% made to be leaned upon, it's sometimes you lean on it, but nevertheless it's not made to be leaned upon, is it called tumas medrus, even if you don't touch it? Now, if he wasn't wearing shoes, he wasn't wearing socks, I mean, or whatever, he wasn't wearing clothes, so then of course it's tummy, because he touched it. But we're not going where it wasn't wearing socks, we're going where he's wearing socks. And therefore, the only tumma way he can transmit tumma is by leaning upon it, tumas medrus. The question is it tumas medrus or not? Abaye says no. Rav Amar, no, af tumma medrus. It is tumma medrus, because you do lean on it. Amar Rav, Rav says, Mino amin, alay detnan, agola shel katan. If you have a wagon, that these little, these that little kids, a toy carriage. So a kid makes this carriage, and it's toy. So the halacha is, says Abaye, says Rava, it's tumei medrus. Says the Mishnah, it's tumei medrus. Such a carriage is tumei medrus. So what do we see? Since, even though it's made be'ikar to play with, but nevertheless the kid is sometimes going to go in the carriage. So we see, even though you have an object which is not always made to use, its first purpose is not to transport things. Nevertheless, since sometimes it does transport things, it's called tamei medrus. So to over here, this shoe, albeit its ikar purpose is there, so it doesn't gross people out when you walk on the street next to them that you don't have a foot. Nevertheless, since sometimes you do soimich on it, you are tamei medrus. What does Abaye say? Abaye amar hasam samech aloye. Over there, what do you mean? It's taka true that sometimes the kid will go into this carriage and totally lean on it. Over here, haka loy samech aloye. Over here, that's not true. You apparently, says, apparently you don't lean on it enough, according to Abaye. It's not made to be leaned upon. You don't put your full weight on it. So is the machlekes whether or not you pull your full weight on it? I'm not sure if it's a machlekes in like Metzias or everybody's masking to the Metzias that it only happens, to, you know, let's say 5% of the time. The question is 5% of the time considered enough or not? Because the way Rashi says it in Tamei Medrus, Rashi says, Vahainami, this one also, Zimnin, sometimes you do lean on it. And Abaye's response is, here you don't. So what's the machlekes? Is the machlekes whether or not you lean on it even 5%? Abaye says you don't even do that, and Rava says you do, but everybody would agree that if you did lean on it 5%, it would be counted. Or is the machlekes is 5% enough? I don't have any indication from Rashi so far. The next Rashi might shed a bit of light, but I don't have any indication from Rashi so far what the machlekes would be. If it's machlekes in Metzias or machlekes in Gedarim.
But it just says that Abaye is saying that depends what it's made for.
Right. Okay, I think the next Rashi might shed some light. Let's see. I was going to wait for Omar Abaye. Abaya says, and now Abaya continues to talk, and he says, from where do I know our halacha? Mina aminala, the Tanya, makal shel zakenim, tahar miklum. If you have a stick, a cane, an old man's cane, is tahar miklum. It does not get any tuma. First of all, it's made out of wood, so therefore it's not going to get any tumas. It's not going to get. It's not going to get any type of tuma like a tumas mace or tumas sheretz because it doesn't have any place to put something. So it's a pshute kli eitz, and it's not tamei tumas medras because it is not made for leaning. Now here this Rashi says, and even though you sometimes do lean on it, it sometimes is a cane, and it sometimes will support the guy's full weight, nevertheless, since it's not made to lean on, that's not the purpose, it's not its ikar purpose, therefore it is not considered a cane. Therefore, it's not considered a cane. Therefore, it's not considered a bar medras. So, from this Rashi, we see what the previous Rashis would have meant: that the machlekes is not in whether or not it is considered a whether the machlekes is not in mitzias. Even though that's what it sounds like from the words of the Gemara, the machlekes is not in mitzias whether or not they do lean on it, but rather everybody agrees that they lean on it 5% of the time. Nevertheless, they lean on it 5% of the time. Nevertheless, since it's not made for that, that is not considered a enough. La Masha Enkein, that's not considered enough of a reason to make it a Tumei Medras. Masha Enkein, in the case of the wagon of the kid, apparently the pshat over there is that it is made for the kid to go into it. That's part of the maker's understanding. When in China and in Thailand, when they were making these carriages, they understood that the purpose of it is for a child to play with. And how does a child play with it? By going inside of it. That's how we have to learn the Gemara. The reason I waited for this Rashi is because I'm saying Adra. It only became clear from this Rashi how to learn the previous Rashis. Okay. Amar Abaye mina aminala d'tan makos as the kingdom tar miklum. For Rava Amar, Rava says the terutze sugya avida. So Rava says over there it's different because over there it's made specifically just to help you out, and it's not made to go ahead and lean on. You're not supposed to lean on a cane. You don't lean on a cane. It's there simply to support, to provide minimal support, you know, and the terutze sugya avida, right? Like to straighten out the steps. Hacha, over here, in this case, of the shoe, lismach aluye hu da'avida v'samach aluye, it is made, so now it sounds like it could be back to machlekas. From this line, it sounds like that Rava is saying that there's a machlekas in what the people in Thailand are thinking when they make it. Rava sounds like, no, I agree to you that by a case of a stick where it's not made at all in order to lean upon. Nevertheless, it's not made at all that you need to lean upon it. Nevertheless, it sometimes happens that you're leaning upon it. That's not considered tummy matters. But in the case of the shoes, it's different because it is made to lean upon. So if it is made to lean upon, Abaya said he's masking that if it is made to lean upon. So what's the machlekes exactly? There's some sort of like middle ground that it is made to lean upon, but or is the machlekes how to define it? Is the machlekes what to define shoes as? Is it a machlekes in metzias and what the people in Thailand are thinking? At this point, I become unclear exactly what the machlekes is. So again, we have three things that we know about. We know about the cane, and apparently both the Abaye and Rav are masking that a cane is not made. When made in Thailand, it is not made to lean upon, and therefore, even though sometimes it is leaned upon, it is not tamei medras. We have this wagon, which is made to lean upon. In Thailand, when they make it, they know the kids lean upon them. And therefore, that's the purpose, and memela, it is tamei medras. The machlekes sounds like in shoes. Are shoes made to be leaned upon? According to Rava, they're made to be leaned upon, so it's more similar to the wagon. According to Abaya, they're not made to be leaned upon. and therefore it's more similar to the stick. So at the end of the day, that's how I would say it's a machlekes exactly what the wagon, what the shoes are made for. That's, I don't know if you tell me if they say differently in your Gemaras, but that's how I would come out. Everybody's maskim to the parameters. We're all maskim to the textbook, depending on what it's made for. The question is, so what are shoes made for? So machlekes and metzias, what shoes are made for. But in halacha, everybody's maskim to the textbooks. That's what I would say. Okay, to me and Regis, you're not allowed to go into the Azar with them. Tani Tanika made Rabbi Yechanan. There was a certain student in front of Rabbi Yechanan and who said, Nichnas Behin Lazara, you are allowed to go into the Azar with them. Omar Lay, Anishaina Isha Khadatz's bay. And we're talking about these shoes that you put at the end of the stump. If somebody doesn't have anything below the knee, so they put some sort of thing over there, some sort of shoe over there in order for him to help him walk with this wheelchair. Says this Tana in front of Rabbi Yechanan that it's not a shoe. You're allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash with it. He says, what are you talking about? I just taught Maseches Yevamos, and I said that you're allowed to use such a thing for a shoe. So it is a shoe. V'at amrit nechnasin, and you say that you're allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash with it. Tani ein nechnasin ben lazara. Teach your Mishnah is that you're not allowed to go into the Azara with it.
So what would it be then for a prosthetic?
I don't know. It could be that a prosthetic, which is, you know, you could take them on or off, but I don't know if it's being a shoe. I don't know. It's an interesting shayla. I'm not sure.
Okay, it's meant to be kind of a replacement for part of your body.
Right.
That you consider like a shoe or not.
Right. So I don't know if it's made to be like a protective, you know, I don't know. But I would say that a shoe, I would say that it's not a shoe, but that would be a guess without looking into it at all. It's a great shayla. Is a prosthetic considered a part of this Gemara or not? I would say not. That would be my guess, but I would not say it without, you know, if it meant anything. If it was no gay lemaisa, I would obviously have to look it up. But I would guess in the direction of not. Because I think that a shoe is supposed to be, protective for the bottom of the foot. I don't know if it's considered protective. It's meant to be a replacement of the leg, you know. The shaila also would be, if a person puts a shoe on the bottom of his prosthetic, he has this prosthetic leg, and he puts a shoe on at the bottom, a nice Nike sneaker. Couldn't you do chalitza with that? Hmm. It's very nogeya, lemaisa. Couldn't you do chalitza from a prosthetic? They still do chalitza nowadays all the time.
More common than yibum.
Well, yeah, they don't do yibum at all, but... Yeah, chalitza happens every now and then. We did one in Chicago recently, but... Yes, I don't know. Okay. Tani Tani Kameid Rabbi Yechanan Nichnasim. So the Gemara says, my Luktamin. Luktamin is Tahirin. What is a Luktamin? Omar Rabbi Avahu is Chamra de Achva. This is, you know how they have those horses that are on a stick? It's just it's the head of the horse, and it's you're holding a stick, and you put it in between your legs, and you pretend that you're riding a horse. So it's apparently those things are thousands of years old, because they had it back in the time of the Mishnahs. And they are tahar. Rava Bar Papa Amar Kshire. It is Kshire, which is that these are stilts. That Rashi says when you go through muddy areas, you don't want to dirty your shoes. So they had some sort of stilts. And the last one is Rava Bar Huna Amar Parmi. It is these masks that you put on in order to scare little boys. That's what Rashi says. All right. Apparently, these things are thousands of years old. All right. Habanim yoitz in b'ksharim. Children, boys, are allowed to go out with ksharim, with these ksharim. The Gemara will discuss what it is. Ubnei malachim bezugin. And princes are allowed to go out with bells. V'chal adam, says the Gemara, technically anybody's allowed to go out with bells. Ella, shedibru chacham v'haiva. The chacham were speaking about normal cases. And generally, regular people did not go out with bells, and kings did, princes did. So the Gemara says little boys are allowed to go out with ksharim. What are ksharim? My ksharim, Amar Adam Mori, Amar of Nachman bar Baruch, Amar of Ashi bar Oven, Amar of Yehuda, kshurei pua. It is these knots of pua. So I don't exactly know what pua is, but Rashi says garnats, yeah. And so it's some sort of a natural thing that they would tie in knots and tie it around a person's neck for a fua. And Rashi says that he doesn't know why they would do it. So Amar, do we have an identification of pua? Anybody have an identification?
They say the madder plant, M-A-D-D-E-R. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, okay.
Mine also says madder.
All right. So Amar Abaye, Amar Li Aim, my mother told me, Tlasa, if you have three of these madder plants, so then Mukmi, it stops the chayla, but it doesn't heal it. It just halts it in its tracks. It doesn't let it get any worse. Sustains it. What's the medical term for this? It holds it. It doesn't let it get worse. Halts it in its tracks. Chamisha Masu, five, heal it. And Shiva, I feel like Shafimali. Shiva help even for magic. In other words, if you have seven of these puas, forget about it. Amar of Acha Bar Yaakov Ahu, as long as the Lechazilei Shimsha, as long as these pua plants, these matter plants, they never saw the sun, v'sihara, or the moon. So in other words, it must have been indoors the whole time. V'lechazi mitcher, or rain. V'lechamele kol barzela, never heard the sound of metal. The kol tarnagolta, or chickens. The kol nigri, or the sound of a carpenter. So Amar of Nachum Yitzchak Shkoyach, nafal puta bebira. Then your pua plants are now not worthless. This remedy is worthless, because what are the chances of you finding a pua plant that never heard any of these things? Says the Gemara, my area banim, afilu bano yisnami. Why? So in that case, expecting Gemara, then why davka boys, little boys, it says. Even little girls. I mean, anybody can need this healing. And my area ketanim, why ketanim davka? Afilu gedalim nami, even gedalim. Elamai ksharim, that can't be what ksharim means. Elamai ksharim, ksharim is rather something that you do. Ki hada amar av oven bar huna, amar av chama bar goya ben shayish. Sorry, I apologize. Amar av chama bar goya ben sheyesh gaguin al aviv. If you have a child who has real ga'aguin, it's a modern Hebrew word, which means real real feelings, real deep feelings for his father, and like mitgageya is a word in Hebrew nowadays, which means you really really want something. You're really craving to see the person or craving to see somebody. So if a person has ga'aguin on their father, these little boys, and they're so into the father. Every time the father goes into the car to go to work, so the kid starts to get sick. He loves his father so much. You take a strap from the right foot, from the right shoe, and you tie it on the left leg, I guess, of the kid. And that is supposed to calm down the kid. So a son is allowed. Apparently, only sons feel such gaguin for their father. Daughters don't. And okay, Amar Nachman Bar Yitzchak v'simanech tefillin. And the way to remember this is tefillin. The chilufa, and if you do the other way around, you take the left foot, you take the strap from the left foot, and you tie it on the right foot. That would be a sakana. I guess it would be so much gaguin. Amar Oven Bar Huna, Amar Avchama Bar Goria, sichufei kasa atibure b'shabsa. If you take a cup that had a lot of steam in it, like it was full of hot water, and you emptied out the hot water, now it's full of steam still, you could tie it, you could put it on the person's stomach to act as a, like if some person has a stomach ache, so it acts as some sort of, hot water bottle. That's mutter to do on Shabbos. So, Rashi says all what I just said, but he finishes off, and the way the remedy works is that the cup will somehow, I guess, I don't know if there's any like suction involved over here, like you put it directly against the thing, and maybe the fact that it had a lot of steam in there, it made suction, I'm not sure. But Rashi says that it will cause the insides to go ahead and be drawn towards the cup and put them back in its place. So I don't know exactly, somehow you're maneuvering the kidneys or the intestines around. I don't exactly know the remedy going on over here, but it's mutter to do on Shabbos.
When a hot cup cools, the air inside it cools and makes a slight vacuum.
Okay, so I guess that's what's happening. and it's making some sort of vacuum, and because of that, it's causing the intestines to move back to the right place. Okay. V'amar Avin Abarhuna. The reason why I think these things are mutter, I don't know, but I think the reason why the halacha is that you're not allowed to do any remedy on Shabbos. However, any remedy that is not done via medicine, but rather like a hot water bottle and things like that, that's mutter. If it's not to be if it's not to be done with medicine, and there's no equivalent medicine for it, then you're allowed to do it. So I think that's going on over here. Tell me if they say differently, but that's what I think what's going on over here.
The name of the Rambam and Sifta says that there's no connection to grinding.
Yeah, that's the heter that I'm saying. That there's a heter that says that any time that the remedy is not, you know, it's a physical remedy and it cannot be, you know, it cannot be taken. It's not, it doesn't have an equivalent with of taking medicine. Then it's mutter to do. So putting a hot water bottle on you, there's no equivalent of, there's no medicine that you could take that will act as a hot water bottle. Memela, it's mutter to do on Shabbos. So the Gemara gives some other remedies as well. V'amar Avin Bar Huna, Amar Rav Chama Bar Goya, Mutter Lasuch Shemen Umelach B'Shabbos. It is permitted to smear oil and to massage oil and salt in on Shabbos. Rashi says that they used to do it into the palms and of the hands and feet in order to get them over some sort of drunkenness. If a person drinks too much, so the way to apparently get him over it was by massaging oil into the hands and feet. So kihad Rav Huna bei Rav, when Rav Huna was by Rav, and when Rav was by Rav Chia, Rav bei Rav Chia, Rav Chia bei Rabbi, kihavi mevasmi, when they would get a bit drunk, ma'isi mishcha u'milcha, they would bring salt and oil, v'shayfele the gaviyasa diyadayhu ve'gaviyasa dikarayhu, and they would massage it into the palms of the hands and feet, and in order to help them pass the wine. Va'amri, and they would say the following chant, kihecha detzil ha'mishcha, the same way this oil is becoming clear, in other words, it's going, leitzil chamer deplanya bar palnisa, so too should the oil, so too should the drunkenness, the wine of Pliny bar Pliny also go away. V'iloi, and if this doesn't work, ma'isi shia d'dani, you bring a top of a barrel, v'shar libemai, and you soak it in water, v'amar, and you say, ki heichi deleitzel hai shia leitzel chamer deplani bar planisa. The same way this top of the barrel becomes clear, in other words, after it's soaked enough in water, so too should the wine of Pliny bar planisa also go away. Now, I don't know exactly who needs how long does it take to dissolve the top of a barrel? I would have imagined a couple days. I hope by then his drunkenness goes away. So I'm not sure exactly what it means to dissolve the top of the barrel. Maybe it just means like the residue on it. Because to dissolve an actual top of a barrel, you'd imagine that the guy would hopefully get over his drunkenness by then. V'amar Avin Bar Huna, Amar Rav Chama Bar Goya, Mutter L'chanik B'Shabbos. It is mutter to be mechanic on Shabbos. Rashi explains that somebody who had a bone in his neck got out of place, and it fell into his neck. So again, I'm not sure the Metzias or if we have an equivalent ailment nowadays. What they used to do is they used to hang the person by his neck, and he used to pop the bone back in place. So that's mutter to do on Shabbos. Please do not try this at home. That's Amar Rav Avin Bar Huna, Amar Rav Chama Bar Goya, Lifufa Yanuka B'Shabsa Shaper Dami. To wrap up a child and to put his bones back in place. This I don't know if that happens nowadays, but I don't think so either. You don't need to like pop a kid back into place after he's born. Usually it comes out like a, you know, Mr. Potato Head, like pop the arms in there and the legs in there and the nose on. So I don't think that happens anymore. But apparently back in the day, it used to be when a child came out, he needed to be placed, you know, he needed to be shaped. That's mutter to do on Shabbos. Rav Papa Masni Banim and Rav Zvid Masni Ben. Rav Papa taught two dinim in the name of oven barhuna, this last one of lafufa yanuka, and the one with gaguin that we started off with. He said both of them are in the name of Rav Oven Barhuna. Rav Zvid said only one of them was. Only one of them, Rav Zvid Masti Ben, only one of them was in the name of Oven Barhuna. Rav Papa Masti Banim, Vatarai Masni Lab Oven Barhuna, Rav Zvid Masti Ben, Kamaisa Masni Lab Oven Barhuna, the first one, Vavahai, but this last one, Maisni Lab Rabba Bar Barhuna. He said it was the name of Rabba Bar Barhuna. Tom Rabba Bar Barhuna, Lepupa Yanuka Bashabsa Shabbat Dami, to massage this kid back into place on Shabbos is Mutter. Okay, now the Gemara, like it does several times throughout Shas, this is one of the places, it goes through a lot of, this is only less than a blot of it, so just hold on. But we had it in Gittin, this is in Sanhedrin, it comes up a lot, Refuas. And like we know, we don't try these Refuas nowadays, these are a lot of their Sguli Refuas, and in fact it's us that try them, Rebbe Kivager says. Amar Abaya, Amar Li, my mother told me, Kol Minyana Bishma the Ima. Anytime you're doing a chant, and you're doing a number chant, and you have to do it in the name of the guy's mother. V'chol kitri bismala. And so, in other words, we always say Plania bar Planisa. This, we say the name bar the name by the mother's name. And anytime you v'chol kitri, anytime you're tying something on you, you tie it on the left side, bismala. V'amar Abaya, my Abaya said, Amar li, my mother told me, Kol Minyana de Mefarshi, Kol Mefarshi. Anytime you have a chant and it has a specific amount of times to say it, say that amount of times. U'duloy Mefarshi, if it doesn't have a specific amount of times, do it arbo'in v'chad zimna. Do it 41 times. Tan Rabbanan, yotzin be'evan tekuma b'shabbos. A person is allowed to go out with an evan tekuma. This is a stone that women carry that they should, that who, if they're pregnant, they should not be mapel the child. What exactly is this stone? People, you can bet you can get one nowadays. They sell Evan Tekumas. There's also rubies are also known to help a thing. But so I have actually a story with this. My wife wears one. Like you know, we've had several story incidents over the years. Our first time we had an incident, my wife was pregnant. It was maybe fourth month, and we went to the doctor, and the doctor's like, no, it hasn't been around for a while, maybe since the last appointment. So, I'm surprised, he says, that it didn't start coming out by itself, because it hasn't been around for a while. Okay, it is what it is. So, we're going to have to do in D&C, but I'm just surprised that, you know, it never happened, it didn't come out by itself. Kaka. Okay, so my wife wears these Evan Tekumas, so she comes home, and that night she's taking a shower. And she's like, oh, I have this Evan Tekuma on me. So she takes it off. And as soon as she takes it off, he starts to bleed. Anyways, so that's pretty cool. But it didn't help that it wasn't the Mapel, but Lamaisa. So it's this is something that some sort of segula, I don't know. Okay. Yoytzim Evan Tekuma Shabbos, Mishum Rav Meir Amr, Af B'Mishkol Evan Tekuma. Even with the weight of the Evan Tekuma, meaning you take an Evan Tekuma, you weigh it against something else, another stone, and that other stone, since it was weighed against that Evan Tekuma, has the same properties as the Evan Tekuma, the same Seguli properties. V'lo Yishei Pila, a lady's allowed to wear it, not only that she shouldn't, have a Pila, Ella Shema Tapil, V'lo Yishei Ibra Ella Shema Tiz Abra V'Tapil. In other words, not only if it's a problem with her, but even if she never has had Pala before, she's still allowed to wear it. And not only that, even if she's not pregnant, but she's allowed to wear it because maybe she'll become pregnant. So never, it's not considered carrying. It's considered part of her goof, part of she's wearing it because she's wearing it that she doesn't lose an Uber. Okay? Amar of Yemar bar Shalme Mishmim de Abaye. Uhu de Chaven ve'itkol. It's got this that it works if it's weighed against it is only if it's exact weight. You put the Evan Tekuma on one scale, and you put the rock on the other scale, and it weighs itself out. It's got to be equal. If it's not equal, then it doesn't work. Boya baya, mishkel de mishkel maya. What about a stone that's weighed against the stone that was weighed against the Evan Tekuma? Does the property continue on? And the Gemara says, teku. Amar baya, amar li ay, my mother said to me, le'eshta bas yoyma, for this, I don't want to say fever, once again. the Eshta Bas Yema for this, I would say fever. Is it a fever? Is that what they say? Yeah. Okay. For fever. What?
Fever of one day.
Yeah, fever of one day. If a fever of one day, so either it comes back every day or it's only one day. Fever. Lishkel Zuza, take a coin, chivara, white. Veleza lemilchasa, and go to salt, whatever, the salt place. Velitkel mitakle milcha, and go and weigh out against this coin, the weight of the coin in salt. Velitzaire, and place it bechalala de beit savar in the crevice, in the indent by one's neck. Benira barka, with a white hair. The Eloi, and if you don't want to do that, Lace of Aprashas Drachim, go to a road that has a fork in the road, and Vechichazi Shumshimna Gamla. The Dori Midi, when you see a large ant carrying something, Lishkele, take it, Vilishadya begovsa de nechasha, and put it in a copper pipe, Vilisatme, and seal it, Ba'avra with lead, Vilichasme Vishitin Gushpanki, and seal it with 60 seals, Vilabarzule, and shake it around, Vilidre, and lift it up, Vilemale, and you should say, Tu'unach alayva, Tu'unai aloch, your weight should be on me, and my weight, what's on you, what's bothering you, in other words, that little crumb that you're carrying, should be my burden, and my burden should be on you. Amale Hirvacha Breda Ravuna Larvashi. Maybe somebody already else before you found this ant and already gave him his fever. So you're saying, I want your load. Now this poor ant, he's having a bad day. He gets up, carrying something, trying to be a good worker. Suddenly a guy finds him, throws him in the seal, shakes him all around. He gets this crazy fever. Finally the guy lets him go. And he's like, all right, I'll live with the fever. And he starts walking again with his crumb. And for the second time that day, a guy picks him up and starts shaking him around. The day is not going well for this ant. So he says, "El lema tu'unai v'tu'unai aloch. Both my load and your load should be on you." V'iloy, and if you don't want to do this, for understandable reasons, lishkol kuza charata, you should take a new jug. V'lezel nahara, and go to the river. V'lemalei nahara nahara. River. Oisvan kuzet demaya leorcha the iklali. Can you lend me a jug of water for a guest that I have? V'lahad shev zimni al reishin. Twirl it around 7 times on your head. V'lishadin la'achira, and throw it behind you. V'lema, and say nahara nahara. Shko maya deyavasli. Take back the water that you gave me. The orcha the iklali biyoma asaviyame azal. The guest that came to me came in a day and left in a day. All right, let's just do one more. Amar of Huna, La'ashta Tilsa, for fever that lasts 3 days, Lacey Shiva Silvi, you should take 7 grapes, Mishiva Dikli, from 7 decal trees, Vishiva Tzivi, and 7 pieces of wood, Mishiva Kshuri, from 7 beams, like pieces of splinters, whatever, Vishiva Sichi, and 7 nails, Mishiva Gshuri, from 7 bridges, Vishiva Ktimi, and 7 pieces of ash, Mishiva Tenuri, from 7 ovens, Vishiva Afri, and 7 pieces of earth, Mishiva Sanri, from 7 doorways, that the hinge is over there, Vishiva Kufri, and 7 pieces of tar, Mishiva Arbi, from 7 boats, Vishiva Buni Kamuni, and 7 handfuls of cumin, Vishiva Bini Medikne Dekalba, and 7 hairs from an old dog, Medikne Dekalba Sava, Vilitzayirinu, and tie it all, Bechalola Debeit Savra, in the crevice of one's neck, Benir Barka, with a hair. I do not know how you're getting all this stuff. I mean, it sounds like a tremendous amount of stuff. How are you tying it to your neck? I don't know. But also, do you have to keep it tied there for 3 days? I don't know. All right, that's why we don't try these things, because it's hard to understand them. All right, we'll stop over here. Have an amazing day, Rabbi Isai.